Praise God, brother. Man can't preach after that. He ought to turn his papers in, brother. I'll tell you that now. All right, if you have your Bibles this evening, please turn, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter number 1. I told the preacher, if you can't preach after this tonight, you need to turn your papers in. That's all I can say. I want to thank the Lord for my salvation in the Lord tonight. I'm glad he came to me when I could not come to him. He came to me. I'm glad he left the 99 and went through the heat and the cold after me. I wasn't looking for him. I bless his name. I'm thankful tonight for my heritage that I have in the Lord. I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. I'm glad I had an old-time preacher. I'm glad I got saved in an old-fashioned independent Baptist church. Brother Arthur Blackburn was my pastor, and he was Mr. Camp Meeting. He introduced me to men like Billy Kelly, Harold Seitler, Mays Jackson, Hinkle Little, Brother Percy Ray. I had the privilege of hearing these men of God preach. Oh, but I'm glad we'll see them again. Amen. You glad you're saved tonight? Say amen. I feel like I've been to heaven three times and back already. It's good to see you here tonight in the house of the Lord. I appreciate our choir. Weren't they a blessing? If you don't mind me, I'm bragging on my choir tonight. Brag on our people. They a blessing. This atmosphere doesn't make us nervous one little bit. Thank God for this. I like it. Make me nervous if we didn't have it. That's what makes me nervous. So I appreciate the good blessing. I believe God's put confirmation, brother, on this camp meeting. I believe God's put his hand on it, brother. Brother Frank, appreciate you. Thank you, my brother. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 1 tonight. Brother Hinkle Little used to say this, that all great sermons ought to be short, and all bad ones ought to be shorter. Either way tonight, I'll not keep you long, but I'll preach as God gives me utterance tonight and leads me. 1 Peter chapter number 1, appreciate the men of God that are here. Thank you for taking time to come. Let's stand and read God's word together. 1 Peter chapter number 1. 1 Peter chapter number 1 and verse number 18. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. If you found your place, say amen.
Amen.
The Bible said, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God." You can be seated while we pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I bow before you to give you thanks and God to give you praise. Lord, I could leave right now saying it's been good to be in the house of God. I thank you, Lord, for every prayer. I thank you, Lord God, for every song by the choir. I thank you, Lord, for every special song. I thank you, Lord, for this dear pastor, Brother Frank Thacker. God, I pray that the best days will be ahead, God, for Harmony Baptist Church. I pray you'd give him his heart's desire. I pray that every need might be met in his heart, in his life, God. I pray that God will give him souls for his labor. I pray that you'll give him men and women that will stand with him and stand by. And God, we pray, oh God, breathe on this place. Oh God, touch this place, Lord, like it's never been touched before. I pray the Lord Jesus tonight might be lifted up high and holy. And Lord God, that we might see ourselves low and lowly. I pray you'll receive maximum praise and glory and honor to thy good name. And we'll thank you and we'll praise you, for we ask it in Jesus' name, and for thy sake we pray, amen. Tonight I want to preach on this subject, some things I'm going to keep on preaching, some things that I'm going to keep on preaching. Simon Peter was the apostle of hope. Paul is the apostle of faith. John is the apostle of love, but Simon Peter is the apostle of hope. Faith, hope, and love are the three great virtues. When you read 1 Peter, you see that his theme is the grace of God. I'm glad we've got the grace grace of God tonight. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. I'm glad God will never leave us, for the grace of God cannot keep us. In chapter 1, we see the grace of God in salvation. In chapter number 2, we see the grace of God in suffering. In chapters 4 and 5, we see the grace of God in suffering. Oh, I want to preach tonight some things that's found in 1 Peter chapter number 1. Some things I'm going to keep on preaching. It's sad today that many pulpits are silent about some things that ought to be preached. It was said about a great evangelist, it's not the things that he did say, but it's the things he did not say. I'm afraid today many pulpits are silent about some things that ought to be said. And I think there's a lot of substitutes in the pulpit today. There's philosophy being preached, and there's positive thinking being preached, and there's politics being preached. Now I believe we ought to stand for God. I believe we ought to stand for what's right. But God is chosen by the foolish of preaching to save them that believe. There is no substitute for preaching. Angels before the throne of God envy those who preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know we live in a day when preaching is an all-time low, but as far as God's concerned, preaching is an all-time high. God always has and God always will. Bless the preaching of the word of God. No time to quit, no time to get cold, no time to stop. But there's some things I'm going to keep on preaching. Three things tonight I want to share with you that I'm going to keep on preaching. First of all, I'm going to keep on preaching redemption by the blood. Redemption by the blood. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 18. For as much as you know, you've not been redeemed with corruptible things and silver and gold from your vain conversation, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb and without blemish. Isn't it sad that we live in a day when people have taken the blood out of the songbooks? Several years ago, the Methodist Church printed the paper that we're not going to sing anymore about the blood. We're not going to preach anymore about the blood. It's nothing but a cutthroat religion. It's nothing but a slaughterhouse religion. But I declare to you tonight, it's still the blood. It always has been the blood and always will be the blood. There's a crimson river that flows from the throne of God. It splashes down by the altar of Abel, and it goes into the Holy of Holies, and it goes all the way to Calvary, where it's transformed to a chair of redemption, and heaven cries, it's still the blood. Oh, thank God tonight for the blood. If I was looking for a church, I'd look for a church that would sing about the blood. I'd look for a preacher that preach about the blood. I wouldn't want to be a part of any church that did not preach the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Any preacher that does not believe in the blood ought to turn his papers in. Any preacher that don't believe in the blood of Jesus, he's a modernist. He's a hireling. I'm telling you, he's not called of God if he don't preach of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I say to you tonight, the blood is precious blood. He said we've been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. That word precious means the valuable blood. Where would we be tonight apart from the blood? We'd be on our way to hell without God and without hope. Has it not for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? You say, Brother Randy, what about remission? Not without blood. The Bible said without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. You say, Brother Randy, what about justification? Not without blood. The Bible says in Romans 5 and verse 9 that we have been justified by the blood. You say, what about cleansing? Not without blood. The Bible says in 1 John 1 and verse 7 that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. You say, what about peace? Not without blood. Colossians 1 and verse 20 says, having made peace through the blood of the cross. I think I'll just keep on preaching about the blood, because it is the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I never will forget the story I heard in the country of Spain, that there was an earthquake in the country of Spain, and there was a huge building that fell on a mother and its little boy, and they were trapped down in just a small compartment, and they survived the earthquake, but nobody was able to get to them, and the air was running out, and the little boy was dying. And what the mother did, she cut her finger, and that little boy drank the blood, and he was able to survive because of that blood. And finally they rescued them. There was a time in my life when I was dying. I was without God and without hope. But I'm glad tonight for the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I say to you tonight, friend, the blood is the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. It's not only precious blood, but it's pure blood. Jesus' blood was free from original sin. that. The Bible says in Acts 20 and verse 28 that he purchased the church with his own blood. Now I was reading one day from Dr. John Phillips, and Brother John Phillips said that the baby's blood does not come from the father. It does not even come by the mother. If you was to take the blood type of the mother and you was to take the blood type of that child, it'd be a different blood type. That baby produces its own blood. It produces its own blood by its own blood bearer. I'm glad the blood that flowed in Jesus' veins was pure blood. It was the blood of God. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, there was not one taint of sin in the blood of the Holy Lamb of God. Holy, pure, priestly, kingly, rich, royal, redeeming, blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I say tonight, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. May I say also, it's purchasing blood. The Bible said we have been redeemed by the blood. That word redeemed means to purchase by paying a price. Now back in those days, a slave, he could raise enough money to pay his own slavery out, or somebody could sell him and somebody could sell that slave and pay for him. But you and I was on the slave market of sin, and no one could pay the price. No one could buy us out. But I'm glad, thank God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, I'm glad he went to Calvary. Calvary became God's slave market, and there Jesus paid the price for you and for me. The Bible said, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. I'll never be sold again on the slave market. I'll never be brought back into bondage again. I've been bought with a price, and I can glorify God in my body and my spirit, which are God's. We have been redeemed. We have been purchased. We have been bought by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The world may not think much of us, and the world may not appreciate God's people, but may I say to you, we're somebody and we're going somewhere. It's because we've been bought and purchased. We're God's blood-bought crowd. We're God's purchased crowd. Hallelujah. We've been bought by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm saying, I say to you tonight, whenever Israel was down in Egypt's land and they were in bondage 430 years, there's no way they could get out. No way. They were in bondage to Pharaoh. But God sent a kinsman. He didn't send an Egyptian. He didn't send an Amorite. He didn't send a Hittite. But he sent one of his own. He sent a kinsman. He sent a Moses. And by the blood of the Passover lamb, they came out. Hallelujah. I'm glad God sent a kinsman. Jesus did not take the nature of angels, but he came like unto one of us. He became our kinsman and went to the cross of Calvary, and he paid the price. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm glad that Jesus paid a price I could not pay. Listen, I had a debt that he did not owe, but thank God he paid it.
Yes. Amen.
Hallelujah. I want to say the blood tonight is powerful blood. It's powerful blood. There's still power in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. John Gacy, John Wayne Gacy, took 23 boys and murdered and slaughtered those boys and buried them under his house. He got caught because they started smelling putrefying flesh. 23 boys, Jeffrey Dahmer, would woo those men, those boys, into his house and kill them and cannibalize them. Ted Bundy slaughtered all those girls. The last girl that he killed was a 12-year-old girl and threw her body into a hog trough. And they finally caught him. But I say tonight, friend, the blood of Jesus Christ has power to cleanse a Jeffrey Dahmer. I say the power of the blood of Jesus tonight has the power to cleanse a Ted Bundy. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God tonight the blood of the Lord Jesus can cleanse a John Wayne Gacy. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, I've gone too far, but the blood's gone further. You say, I've done too much, the blood's done more. You say, I've gone too deep. Glory to God. I'm glad the blood of Jesus, hallelujah, has wonder working power in the blood of the Lord Jesus. It flows to the highest mountain. It comes to the lowest valley. Hallelujah. The blood after 2,000 years has never lost its power. It's still just as powerful and still just as mighty and still just as pure as it's always been. I say hallelujah for the blood tonight. I think I'm going to keep on preaching. Let every preacher quit if they want to, and every modernist and liberal say no about the blood, but I'm going to declare the blood.
Amen. Amen.
Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Yes. Several years ago in San Francisco, they had the World's Fair. And they had a parliament of religion. And what that means was different people could come and talk about their religion. Buddhism, Muslim, Hare Krishna. And there was a Christian who talked about Christianity. But after he talked, it didn't take long to realize that he was not sympathetic about the blood. He made a scathing attack against the blood. Anybody that believed that, he said's a fool to believe in the blood. And about that time in the congregation, an old-fashioned mother stood up and began to sing, "There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from the Daniel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood and lose all their guilty stains." And then after that, Brother Frank, somebody else stood up and said, "The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day, and there may I, though vile as he, washed all my sins away." I'm saying we'll be on the shores of sweet deliverance, waving the palms of victory. It won't be because of baptism, good works. It won't be because of church members. I'm telling you, to be because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some through the water and some through the fire, and some through great sorrow, but thank God it's all through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Bless his holy name. I think I'm going to keep on preaching. Redemption. Redemption. Make much of the blood of Jesus. Billy Kelly used to say, if you want to give the devil high blood pressure, he said, just start talking about the blood of Jesus Christ. Now I want to do everything I can to make that rascal nervous. Amen. I want to do everything I can to bother him. You just start singing and preaching and praying and singing about the blood. And I'm telling you, but the devil on the trail. Amen. How many of you glad tonight for the blood? Glory to God, I'm telling you. Glory to God. Our robes have been washed white in the blood of Jesus. Man may wash himself white, but only the blood can wash a man white. Revelation 1 and verse 5 says, "Unto him that loved us and washed us from our own sin." He didn't, my friend, wash us before he loved us, but he loved us before he ever washed us. And he washes in his own blood, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad, thank God. I'm glad, God, and take the blood and make a daddy out of a drunk and make a homemaker out of a harlot. I'm telling you, thank God he can take a thief and make him somebody honest, because there's still power in the blood of Jesus. Amen. Number two, I think I'll keep on preaching. The resurrection of the beloved. Notice what the Bible said in verse 3 of chapter 1. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy..." Hallelujah tonight for mercy. Mercy is God not giving to me what I deserved. It's abundant, it's rich. You'll never exhaust the mercy of God. "Hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ." There's multitudes that believe that Jesus lived, but there's more that do not believe that he rose again from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is not only important to the Christian faith. We would not have any Christianity if it wasn't for the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus personally, literally, bodily rose from the dead. Jesus literally died. Jesus was literally buried. And Jesus literally rose again from the dead. Did you know that the resurrection is the cardinal doctrine of the Christian faith? It is the Waterloo of infidelity and rationalism. It's the Rock of Gibraltar of the Christian faith. We have nothing to rejoice in if Christ be not risen from the dead. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, "If Christ be not risen, then our faith's in vain." He said, "Our preaching is vain. We're found false witnesses. Our loved ones are perished." How many of you had a mother that's in heaven tonight? How many of you have a daddy in heaven tonight, a child? Did you know we'd never see him again? We'd never have no hope beyond the veil of sorrow had it not been for the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank God they laid him down. But on that first Sunday morning, Jesus got up. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes, and he rose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives. Amen. Thank God for the resurrection. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again. Oh, my friend, you go to Buddha's grave, you'll find Buddha bones. You'll go to Hare Krishna and you'll find Hare Krishna bones. But you go to Jerusalem, you won't find Jesus bones. No, sir. No, thank God, up from the grave. I mean, far above all principalities and powers. I mean, he went where every day is a Sabbath and every month's a May, where the roses never fade and the leaves never wither. And he sat down on the right hand of God. Amen. I'm faced tomorrow. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you're facing, aren't you glad we have a risen Savior? He's on the right hand of God making intercession for us. Hallelujah, tonight we've got a risen Savior. I'm going to proclaim it. I'm going to declare the resurrection of the beloved of Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't believe Jesus just swooned on the cross. There was those say, well, you know, he just got knocked out. He just got unconscious, you know, and the coldness of the tomb revived him. My friend, listen, that's just stupid, ain't it? Hey, what do you think would happen to you if they beat you 39 times, nailed you to a cross, left you for 6 hours, put a spear in your side, sealed you in a tomb where it was no air coming in? You think you could survive that? No way. And there's no way that our Savior, just swooned or knocked unconscious. He literally died. He literally was buried. But by the power of God, God raised him from the dead. We serve a risen Savior. Thank God he lives. He lives, he lives, he lives, he lives. Several years ago, back when Napoleon was in the prime of his power, the people over in England were waiting for the results of Waterloo. They didn't have telephones. They didn't have telegraphs. They didn't have radios. They didn't have walkie-talkies. They would send by signals. And they sent the signal on that Sunday morning to the Battle of Waterloo. Wellington. Wellington defeated. Wellington defeated. And about that time, the fog came in. And everybody began to mourn. And everybody began to be sad because they thought Wellington had been defeated. And they thought that England would be subject to Napoleon. But the next day the fog rolled out. And it said Wellington defeated Napoleon. And everybody began to cheer because they know that Napoleon had been defeated by Wellington. And they were the victor. When Jesus died on the cross, the fog came in. And it looked like we had a dead Savior. We had a crucified Savior. And it was all over. And there was no hope. But thank God, I'm glad on that first Sunday morning. Thank God the fog rolled away. And hallelujah, Jesus, thank God, rose again from the dead. Hallelujah. We serve a risen Savior. Amen. And because Jesus lives, we have a living hope. Look what the Bible said in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us into a lively or a living hope. We have a living hope because we have a living Savior. That's based on the living Word of God. Something that alive grows, it grows, it grows. I'm not talking about a hope so. But I'm talking about we have a living hope. And by living hope, I mean assurance of the future. I'm saying we got a guarantee of the future. We got a conviction of the future because Jesus rose again from the dead. And when we got saved, I'm glad part of the birthright of being saved is that we have a living hope. And something alive grows and grows and grows. Time can't destroy it. Trials can't destroy it. Losing loved ones can't destroy it. No, it grows and grows and grows and grows with time. I'm glad, praise God, that though we may have to lay down the most precious thing in our lives in the grave, I'm glad we've got assurance that we're going to see him again on the other side, that there's a better day coming. You know why the reason we rejoice tonight is because we know there's a better day. There's a hope beyond this veil of sorrow because we serve a risen Savior, because Jesus got up from the dead. Hallelujah. Praise God. We got to live in hope. Matter of fact, trials many times makes it grow. Troubles makes it grow. Losing loved ones makes it grow. We got a living hope. That hope is an anchor to the soul. That hope gives me assurance. That hope gives me stability and helps me to be sober in my thinking. Friend, we listen. Hey, we'd about go crazy tonight if we didn't have the hope of the resurrection, if we didn't have the hope of the future and the hope of heaven, how could we sustain ourselves? But thank God we got a hope that's anchored within the veil. Our anchor doesn't go down, our anchor goes up, and it's anchored within the veil. Jesus Christ is our anchor, and I believe he's about to pull up anchor. Amen. Thank God for that anchor tonight. It's a lasting hope. Notice what he says in verse 4, to inheritance. Inheritance. Now, I don't have much here, but I'm glad Jesus included me in his last will and testament. I'm glad I'm a child of the King. Amen. To an inheritance incorruptible. What does that mean, preacher? Incorruptible, that means that nothing down here can ruin it. Fire cannot touch it. Termites can't destroy it. Thieves cannot break through and steal. Incorruptible, incorruptible. It's just like Jesus, incorruptible, undefiled. It fadeth not away. It's undefiled. Notice what the Bible says. Nothing can stain it. Nothing can cheapen it. Revelation 21:27 says, neither shall there in any wise enter into anything that defileth, neither whatsoever work of the abomination. I'm telling you, it'll never wear out. It'll keep its pristine beauty because we have a lasting hope. Amen. Not a false hope. Not a fleeting hope, but thank God it's a real hope. Amen. The resurrection. Yeah. I'm going to proclaim the resurrection. I'm not just going to proclaim it on Easter, but I'll proclaim it all through the year. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God that Jesus, glory to God, literally, bodily, victoriously, rose from the dead. Amen. Amen. Separates it from all other religions. Is a resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, because I live, ye shall live also. Because he lives, there's coming a great getting up morning. His resurrection guarantees our resurrection. We don't have to fear death. My friend, our loved ones may have died, but thank God, because Jesus got up, they're going to get up from the dead. Amen. Glory to God. That word resurrection means to stand up, by the way. It means to stand up on your feet. Stand up on your feet. Praise God, one day your daddy is going to stand up on his feet. One day my mama is going to stand up again. Glory to my daddy is going to stand up. Thank God, glory. Woo! Thank God they'll stand up because Jesus. Praise God. Death cannot keep him. The grave cannot hold him. Thank God. He said, I'm he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore and have the keys of death and of hell. He lives. Amen. He lives. Amen. Number three. I'm going to keep on preaching about the return of the bridegroom. Look at the Bible says in verse number 7. That the trial of your faith, being more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and the honor and glory, what does it say? At the appearing of Jesus Christ. I'm going to keep on preaching the return of the bridegroom. I know there's a lot of preachers that no longer proclaim it. And there's a lot of folks that's given up on the return of Jesus Christ. But he who said he would come will come. And will not tarry. The next event on God's timetable is the appearing, the return of the Lord Jesus. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Amen. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I did not see him go up, but I'll see him when he comes down. Amen. Now that word appearing is talking about the visible return of Jesus. The word there is the word apocalypsis. It's talking about the unveiling of Jesus Christ. Now I believe there's the rapture. How many of you believe the rapture tonight? Amen. Not a rupture, but a rapture. There's going to be the rapture, and then there's going to be the revelation. Amen. He's coming for the church, and he's coming with the church. Yeah. He's coming before the tribulation. Amen. Yeah. He's coming after the tribulation. Amen. He's coming for his saints. He'll come with his saints. Yeah. I'll not spend one day in the great tribulation period. Yeah. I'll not spend one day in any of the tribulation period. Yeah. Jesus took my wrath at a place called Calvary. Yeah. Amen. Jesus is coming. I know they say, the scoffers say, where's the promise of his coming? Things have always remained the same since the beginning of creation, but they're ignorant of the fact that God intervened in the flood, that God intervened when he sent his son Jesus. God intervened at Calvary. God intervened at the resurrection. If God intervened in history in the past, he's going to intervene one more time. He's going to send his son Jesus. He's coming again. Amen. It'll be a personal return. He'll not send somebody else. That's right. Now, one time, Dan Quayle, when he was running for president, or vice president, I believe, well, I had an opportunity to go hear him. And he couldn't make it. I took my time. I was going to hear him. I believed he was a conservative. I believed he was a Christian. I wanted to hear him. But he couldn't show up. He had to send somebody in his place. It won't be like that when Jesus comes again. Jesus will come. The Lord himself, he'll not send Michael, he'll not send Gabriel, no sir, himself will come, the Lord himself, a Saint Jesus that walked the shores of Galilee, a Saint Jesus, my friend, that cleansed the lepers, and called the fishermen from their nets, that fed the 5,000, that stepped on a cloud and went back to heaven, is the Saint Jesus that's coming again. I bless his name, hallelujah, to be Jesus, the Lord Jesus himself. It'll be a personal return of Jesus. Amen. Revelation 22, three times he said, behold, I come quickly. Yes. It'll be a visible return. When Jesus came the first time, he came in poverty. But when he comes the second time, he'll come in power. When he came the first time, he came and took the cross on his shoulders. But when he comes the second time, he'll take the government on his shoulders. When he came the first time, he stood before Pilate. But when he comes a second time, Pilate will stand before him. When he came the first time, he came riding on a donkey. But when he comes a second time, he'll come riding upon a white stallion. When he came the first time, he took the crown of thorns on his head. Oh, glory to God. When he comes a second time, he'll take the royal diadem. Oh, hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. I may get a Stephanos. I hope I do. I hope I get a Stephanos, a crown, but there's not one of us that's going to get the diadem. There's only one going to get the royal diadem, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm not looking for the undertaker. I'm looking for the upper table. Amen. I'm not looking for a hole in the ground. I'm looking for a hole in the sky. Amen. I'm not looking for an airplane ride, but a plane air ride. Amen. Jesus is coming again. Amen. If ever a preacher stops preaching, I'm going to still preach. He's coming again. And if I die, listen, he's still coming. He's still coming. He who said he would come will come. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I prepare a place for you, I will come again. That's not talking about Pentecost either. That's not talking about the death of a believer. He's talking about his personal return. Amen. If these are not the last days, you tell me what the last days are. Noah days, perversion, pornography, days of Noah, days of Lot, men going about their daily activities as though nothing's going to happen, totally oblivious, just like they were in the days of Noah that the flood was coming, yet they went on about their own daily routine until the day that the flood came and took them away. And that's why he's coming like a thief in the night. He's not a thief, but he's coming like a thief. Yes, a thief does not announce his coming. Yes. You know what devastates you about a thief? You never expect it. You go home and your house How many of you ever went home and your house has been riddled and tore up because of a thief? Sister Ruth, God bless. Well, they didn't tell you that he's coming. Jesus is not going to tell you when he's coming. But I'm glad he's my bridegroom. I want to say this in closing tonight. I believe it's wedding music that I hear.
Amen.
Amen. Did you know he's my bridegroom tonight? Hey, our relationship to Jesus is a bride and bridegroom. And it's after the Oriental custom. It's not after the Western culture. Our relationship as a bride and a bridegroom is after the Oriental custom. In our Western world, we say the wedding's going to be at 2 o'clock. Boy, at 2 o'clock, there comes a bride. But it wasn't that way in an Oriental wedding. There were three stages. First of all, there was the espousal stage, the engagement stage. Many times before the children were even born, the parents would arrange it that their children would be married. And then there would be a dowry, a payment that would be made. And that was just as binding as a marriage. It was during the espousal stage that Joseph thought Mary had been unfaithful, and he would have had a writing of divorcement to get rid of her. Not only was there the engagement stage, there was the presentation stage. There came a time when the groom came from the father's house with the proper documents and come and got his bride and took her back to the father's house. And there was a ceremony that took place. And then they went on a honeymoon. Well, friend, I'm in the espousal stage right now. Jesus has paid the price. There has a dowry that has been paid. It's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And don't let this scare you. Before the foundation of the world, I was in him. Before the foundation of the world, it was already arranged, my friend, before I was ever born. Amen. And then, thank God, there'll be that presentation stage. The son will come from the father's house. He'll come get the bride. He'll take us to the father's house, and there'll be a wedding. Father, this is my bride. And he'll say, do you take her? Do you take her to be your bride? And he'll say, I will. I do. And we'll be married to him. And we'll go for a 1,000-year honeymoon on this earth called the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. I'm looking for the bridegroom to come. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to keep on preaching. Preacher, keep on preaching the redemption by the blood. Keep on preaching the resurrection of our beloved. And then the return of our bridegroom. The coming of Christ is imminent. Imminent. It may not be immediate, but it's imminent. I believe it could be immediate too. Amen. Therefore be also ready, for such is an hour as you think not. The Son of Man cometh. Thank you for the opportunity. Let's bow our heads.